there was a proposal from Tampa, from the city of Tampa, that they were going to split the season, split the home games with Montreal. This is now not moving forward.
This would be the Rays.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Not the Buccaneers.
Not the, sorry, yes. The Major League Baseball team that resides in Tampa. Or wherever it is. St. Petersburg, I guess. I've been there. You know, here's a take. Tropicana Field. Not quite as bad as it gets the rep to be. Horrible playing field and, like, aesthetically not pleasing at all. But the fan experience, not bad.
Really? Okay.
Good food. Now, maybe it's just because it was in Florida. I don't know. Good food. Good beer. You know, easy access to places like that. Now, also, probably wasn't a lot of, there wasn't a lot of people at the game, so that plays a factor, too. I enjoyed my one game between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Baltimore Orioles at the Trop.
Wow, there might have been 9 people at that game. Wow, okay.
Yep. The summer of 2016, somewhere around there. But anyway, they're not going to split with Montreal anymore because I don't know why.
Because that's impossible?
Would have been a pretty weird setup. So fans of the KC Omaha Kings can rest easy tonight. You will not have any competition in the split city team. Man. So let's get to a few things here during this segment. And like I said, I want to hear from you guys, 429-501-1620. You can email Connor at 1620thezone.com. Or you can tweet at Connor Happer. So, bunch of conversation about the transfer portal, obviously, over the last few weeks here. By the way, think things are slowing down a little bit as we get into the spring semester. Now there'll be another wave after spring ball. But one consistent thing that we've heard from coaches over the last couple weeks here, and really since the creation of the transfer portal, and definitely since the creation of the one-time transfer rule, is we need some rules. We need some rules. We need some regulations. What are we looking for here? And my suggestion would be, and like I don't know that we need to, you know, do this for the sole, coaches don't like it for the sole purpose of it makes their life harder and they have to worry about a lot of stuff at a lot of different times. And there's tampering and all that stuff that is involved in the situation too. So my suggestion would be pretty simple, but it comes with a couple caveats. I think there should be probably an open and closed period. Maybe you can declare your intent to enter the transfer portal, but it's in the model of free agency.
It does feel like the quickest, easiest fix.
It's not exactly a fix.
Yeah, but yeah. Modification,
yes,
to the current model.
Just an open and close period. So that coaches don't have to worry about this 24/7, 365. They don't have to be recruiting their players while they're actually trying to go through a season, which I think helps. So close it during the season, open it up right afterwards, and have it open until second semester start, maybe even January 1st. And that way, coaches and recruiters and people within the walls of the programs can have a better understanding of what's going to be there, right? Maybe there's a 2-week period actually where players can declare their intent to enter the portal. So everybody declares that they'll be entering the portal, and then a week or two late, you know, after everybody's made up their minds on that, you move forward. Now, here's the issue. Not everybody's seasons end at the same time. In fact, everybody's seasons end at different times. So it makes it a little bit difficult. Would this increase on the opt-outs? Yeah, maybe. Here's the other thing that we probably just don't think about enough as it comes to this. We're looking for ways to kind of slow this down. But think about, we're in the still very early stages of this. The one-time transfer rule just went into effect. The transfer portal is a relatively new thing. Now, people have been able to transfer before, but it's a little bit different now. We're still adjusting to this kind of landscape of college football. There is what I think is going to happen is maybe if they just leave it alone, it's just going to self-correct over time. I mean, we often refer to the numbers and how many people are entering the portal and how ridiculous and out of control it is. And guys, you know, out there saying that they have offers from schools or for NIL deals and stuff like that. And I think there will be a little bit of that at the top of the sport always with high profile players. It gets a little tricky when you're dealing with high profile players. But on a grand scale, all the way across the board, I think this thing is going to self-correct over time. Guys are going to figure out eventually that entering the portal isn't the best thing for them to do.
You see so many guys that are like, okay, I didn't have the best year at Texas, and now I've accepted an offer to play at
UTEP.
Yeah, or, you know, a school even lower than that. And it's right. Like, that could not have been right. Your plan and when you declared.
Exactly. They went into the portal with the idea of, like, I'm going to go Power 5 to Power 5. I just need a better opportunity. Look at basically all the guys that have left Nebraska over the last couple of years. Remember all the whole group from Florida? And the problem with those guys is they didn't really get to get on – they didn't get on the field. And they were four-star recruits coming out of high school – and they didn't get on the field their first year, and then they ended up at FIU or FAU or, you know, a lower level school, or in some cases an FCS school. And if that's where you want to be, then that's where you want to be. But the players have to figure out when their best opportunity to cash in on their, I don't know, popularity is a tough word for it, but, you know, strike while the iron's hot. And I think players, as we go along, will have a better understanding of this. And there will continue to be success stories of guys who stayed at schools and maybe one day, I mean, you know, you could ask any, probably college football player, anybody that's ever played in college, and be like, hey, did you ever think about leaving? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that crossed my mind. But I came up with a plan to better myself, and I was going to see where it landed. And guess what? If it doesn't land in the place you want to after that, then fine. But you know, players will figure out that they kind of owe it to themselves to give it a shot. And maybe that's a little bit of the overdrawn nature of this in the early going. Players don't understand the magnitude of it. The spaces are low, and you're not going to be able to get exactly what you want out of it every single time. I mean, look at Jay Ducker. He leaves Northern Illinois after being the freshman of the year in the MAC. He's probably thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going Power 5, man. It's just a stepping stone. He ends up at Memphis. Seems like a lateral move.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for kids going somewhere, getting a bag. Like, you should be able to do what the head coaches can do and leave in an instant.
Sure.
But also work to get better.
It doesn't happen automatically.
Yeah.
Just like it doesn't happen for coaches automatically. Now, they're dealing with money, and that's, you know, that's a different thing that's into it for them. But There have been coaches, let's say a Group of Five coach, who took a big Power Five job and got paid more money for it. But guess what? It didn't end up being a good fit, or it didn't work out for them. How do you recover from that? Sometimes you don't. Or you got to go to the Nick Saban School of Rehabilitation and be an analyst for a year. Sometimes it just doesn't work. So, and this is across the board then. Coaches, players, maybe need to be educated a little bit more on what is the right fit. And there's no, you know, there's no way you can really know, because people are going to sell you stuff in the recruiting process and all that. And that's been a thing that's going on forever. But I hope what'll happen here is that it kind of self-corrects. We're going to see movement. We're going to see more movement. And guess what? Guess what else will happen in 2 years down the line? Coaches will stop complaining about it. And then we just won't be talking about it as much.
I'm shocked they haven't caught on yet. Right. Like, hey, probably shouldn't be complaining about that.
Uh-huh. If Nick Saban's on board, you should be on board. Maybe Nick Saban doesn't like it, but it's Nick Saban's job to take advantage of every edge he possibly can. Because if you're not taking advantage of the edges, somebody else is, and they have an edge on you. It's the margins at the sport for competitiveness, as far as from a program perspective, are so razor thin that if you have something that you have and nobody else has, then that's your thing. Sometimes it's more talent than everybody. Great. Sometimes it's national championships in your trophy case. Great. Sometimes it's the ability to promote yourself or have a good, you know, NIL deal, have a great coaching staff, have one really good recruiter. If you're not playing to those strengths, then you're not doing your job.
He needs to be working those edges. He's only won one national championship since 2018.
Bum.
Yeah.
Bum.
I mean,
he only has one more national championship than me.
Yeah.
In that time.
Yeah.
I'm right behind him. Right on his heels.
Oh, there are people that make that argument.
I saw this. I saw the stat yesterday. Transfer portals, and this is where you'll see a lot of it. Transfer portal, but quarterbacks. 63% of 4- and 5-star quarterbacks from the 2010 class to the 2019 class transferred at least once. 63%, and that's at the highest level. 4- and 5-star guys. 68% of 4- and 5-star quarterbacks from 16 to 19 have transferred. So that's in the last 5 years worth of classes.
I'm just thinking out loud here. Do you think you'll see a lot of guys in high school not thinking as hard about their commitment? I can just transfer.
Oh, yeah.
They had the coolest wait room,
oh, I think,
or
so
something. Okay, I'll go there. If I don't like it, yeah, I'll transfer.
I think so, and I think you see some kids going in with a plan to eventually do it, as to eventually leave as well. You know, you get to a certain point and then you go, and or if it doesn't, yeah, work out.
That kid who flipped from Florida State to Jackson State.
Yeah.
He's absolutely there for 1 or 2 years.
I wonder.
He's treating it like a JUCO.
I wonder. It's definitely possible. Yeah. But you just you kind of hope over time that they're in it for the right reason and they move for the right reasons that would better themselves. If not, it maybe works itself out. Some interesting stats anyway. We'll talk a little bit about that with Michael Bruns of Husker 24/7. He's following the transfer portal.
Mark Emmert, maybe you've heard of him.
Mm-hmm. NCAA.
Yeah, he's going to talk at 1:30. I don't know what time zone that is. I'm going to assume Eastern, so I'm going to assume any minute now.
Okay.
And a new constitution vote will come after that for the NCAA. The State of College Sports Address. What could possibly go wrong?
What in the world? And I love any time that Mark Emmert talks, because it's people just being like, what is this guy talking
about? It's just people in the room snitching on him on Twitter.
Right. It's like he's very out of touch.
So we'll probably have a juicy quote or two by the end of the show.
Great. We'll get a juicy quote or two from Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports, who joins us next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.